Christians, and in the midst of their suffering, they are to experience glory. So this little epistle is all about suffering and glory, and we've been seeing that throughout. 1 Peter chapter 1, I think today is the first Sunday of the month, so I don't believe there's children's church this morning. So they have the privilege of staying in here and joining us, right? Okay, 1 Peter 1, I'm going to begin reading at verse 18. Actually, I'm going to begin reading at verse 17. Why don't we stand together if you're able to stand and follow along as I begin reading at verse 17, 1 Peter 1. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. You were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood. Redeemed with the precious blood. Let's pray. Our Lord, just have your way this morning. Use the words that come forth from my lips to honor you, to bring glory to Jesus Christ, to be an encouragement to all of us. Help me, Lord, as I preach. I need your strength and power, and I need the message that is in this passage. And Lord, I pray for each of us as we listen to you, that indeed we would listen to the Holy Spirit as he applies the word to our hearts. We all have needs, Lord. We all have gone astray and we wander from the fold. Bring us back if that be the case. And if there be one here this morning who is outside of the fold, is not part of the sheep, not one of the members of the family of God, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them, that they would call on the name of the Lord who died on the cross to redeem them and to make them justified, sanctified in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. A long, long time ago, like from the 1930s, way before I was born, from the 1930s through into and through the 1970s, there was something that was very popular, and they were called S&H green stamps. Right? Did I get that right? S&H green stamps. We loved them. We loved them. We looked forward to getting them whenever we bought groceries or whatever kind of item. And the clerk would give you your S&H green stamps. And if they forgot, you would remind them, don't I get some stamps? I mean, I made a pretty big purchase. But S&H green stamps were popular in the 1930s and 1970s, continued on into the 1980s, and it kind of wore off after that. But in fact, they were used by some 80% of the country. When you bought groceries or general items, the store might give you, not all of them, but they might give you green stamps in return. And you took those green stamps, and they were actually stamps that had this gunk on the back of them, kind of like postage stamps used to be, where you had to lick them or wet them, and then you would, they had an adhesive, and you would lick them or wet them, and then put them in the book, put them in your S&H green stamps book that was empty, and your goal was to fill it up with stamps so you can use it to buy something. And when you collected enough, you can take these books of stamps to the S&H redemption store or send them into an S&H catalog store and purchase something of value, or take them to some store. In other words, you could redeem them. You needed to redeem your S&H green stamps, which meant you could exchange them for something you wanted for free. In exchange for your stamps, the company gave you your desired product. Now, our church used to collect S&H green stamps. And we bought something with them. Roberta thought we bought silverware with them. And Rhoda, she was back with us back then, and she says, no, it wasn't silverware. Do you remember what it was? You don't remember the S. They were before your time, right? No. Anyway, I know we did S&A screen stamp. My wife is going to do some research and figure out if she can look that up. But we bought something here at the church. And that was back in the 80s that we used them. You know that today you can still use S&H Green Stamps. Today S&H offers green points. And you do it all online, obviously. But you can get green points as rewards for purchases made on the internet. However, if you still have some S&H Green Stamps in the attic, in the books, they don't expire. You can cash them in. You can redeem them for green points now. And we probably threw a bunch of them away. And who knows how many dollars we threw away. Now, I know it's sort of a silly parallel, and I take responsibility for the illustration. It was mine, but that's what we see in the truth of redemption. Christ redeemed us. There was a great transaction that took place the moment we believed. He took our sin in exchange for his righteousness. He redeemed us. He gave us something valuable. We needed something valuable because we were worthless, right? We were formerly a bunch of S&H stamps, a bunch of sinners headed for hell. Did you catch that? S&H, sinners, hell. We were sinners headed for... I knew a lot of you didn't. You looked at me like, did I lose an hour of sleep last night or gain an hour? I can't remember. I just know my clocks were all wrong. But we're a bunch of sinners headed for hell, and he gave us a wonderful gift in exchange for our sin. He stamped us with his own perfect righteousness in our hearts, and we suddenly became saints headed for heaven. I like that. Saints, heaven, sinners, hell. Verse 18 in our passage, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation or your foolish way of life, your empty way of life received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child. Now his child. And forever I am redeemed. You know, redeemed is just a marvelous, marvelous word. Redeemed is a wonderful and amazing truth and a great word. There's such a beauty in it because the source of our redemption is our beautiful Savior. And you nothing surpasses his beauty. It's so amazing because our redemption was not by any effort on our part at all. Nothing. But the fact that you and I were purchased and bought and sealed under the day of redemption was accomplished through the precious, precious blood of Christ as of a lamb. Oh, the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Redemption. You know, I was a slave once. I was a slave bound in the marketplace of sin, and Jesus Christ purchased me. I don't know why. I didn't deserve it. I deserve the opposite. But he, in love for my soul, purchased me. He bought me. He made me his own. I was of absolutely no value. I was of less value than that book that the S&H green stamps go in. I was empty. I was void of any value. I was a disgusting, vile, corrupt, degraded sinner with a sure destination to a place where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. And in that state, my Redeemer purchased me. He purchased me. He bought me, and he brought me up out of the slave market, and he made me his own. And he didn't do it with corruptible things, things which themselves have no redeeming value at all. But he redeemed the most vile and valueless person with the most valuable and costly treasure in all the universe. And that valuable, costly treasure is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ Jesus has power to cleanse. The blood of Christ. He was slain. He was crucified. The spotless Lamb of God. He was murdered. He was literally murdered for me in my place, that he might redeem me. And there would be no other way, no other method, no other Savior than the Son of God. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The English Puritan preacher Thomas Watson wrote these words back in the 1600s. Great was a work of creation, but greater was a work of redemption. It cost more to redeem us than to make us. In the one there was but the speaking of the word. In the other there was the shedding of blood. The creation was but the work of God's fingers. Psalm 8:3, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? So the creation was but the work of God's fingers. It was nothing. Redemption was a work of his arm. Mary, in her song of praise in Luke 1:51, said, he hath showed strength with his arm, speaking of salvation that would come from that little baby born a Savior to save us from our sins. Now, the work of creation is astounding. Need I tell you? I need not, but I will anyway. Creation is so far beyond our comprehension and understanding that it is ridiculous. We can't even begin to wrap our minds around it, to use a hackneyed phrase, I suppose. Scientists estimate that there are 100 billion galaxies in the universe. What do they know? That's just the tip of the iceberg, I think. But they estimate there are 100 billion galaxies in our universe. And then they say there indeed may be 200 billion galaxies. I didn't say stars. I said galaxies. Our Milky Way galaxy, one little galaxy in the universe, is 100,000 light years across. Okay? The farthest galaxy that we seem to be able to see is 13.4 billion light years away. So if you want to go to a far distant galaxy, the farthest one, you got to travel for over 13 billion light years to get there. Now, light is the fastest stuff in the universe. It travels at a speed of 186,000 miles per second. You know how fast that is? That's fast enough to go around the world 7.5 times in 1 second. So if you shine your flashlight towards the east, is that east? Yeah, east. It'll take 1 second for that light from your flashlight to go around the planet 7.5 times. That's fast. That's fast. Now, how far is that distant galaxy? Well, multiply the number of seconds in 1 year by the number of miles that light travels in 1 second, and you have one light year. And one light year then comes out to 5.88 trillion miles. So one light year is about 6 trillion miles long. So to reach the farthest galaxy would take 13 billion, that's how many light years away, 13 billion times 6 trillion, that's how many, well, I'm already confused. But you multiply 13 billion by 6 trillion miles, you have how far it is to that distant galaxy. That comes out to 78 78 sextillion miles, which is 78 with 21 zeros behind it. The time it would take you to travel there in a spaceship going 20,000 miles an hour, and spacecrafts travel about 17,000 miles an hour, it would take you 4 quintillion years to get there, or 4,000 quadrillion years, or it would take 4 million trillion years to get there. I can understand 4 million trillion, you know, that's easy. Anyway, that's a long ways. So that's just part of God's creation. You know, it's astounding. It is, God's creative work is beyond. It's astronomical. It's a great work. It's his handiwork, the work of his fingers. But so also is a work of Christ. In fact, the work of Christ on the cross far surpasses God's creative work. Now, Christ created all things, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth. Colossians 1:16. But as great a work as creation is, could we not say that redemption is greater? Indeed it is. This God who created, he came into this puny little planet called Earth, and he died. And he died. And he died for one human race. There's only one human race in all the universe. That's us. We're part of the human race. He died in the person of Jesus Christ. This God who created us came and died for us, and he shed his blood for us. God came and shed his blood for us. How? Why? Colossians 1. You can turn there if you like, but look at Colossians 1:13. As soon as the first person finds it, I'll begin reading. Oh, you're there, right? No. Colossians 1 and verse 13. Who, speaking of Christ, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us in the kingdom of his dear Son, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And, like a huge footnote, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things that he created unto himself, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. The whole universe needs to be reconciled. The whole universe is under the curse of sin, but reconcile indeed will come because he shed his blood. He redeemed us. He redeemed us. We see in the same passage that we just read that Christ created us and he also redeemed us. In other words, Christ went so far as to redeem those whom he created. We read in Acts 20:28, Paul writes, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God with he which he hath purchased with his own blood. God purchased the church with his blood. Now, of course, this is referring to God the Son, who is the one who shed his blood. But Christ is God. Christ is God in the flesh. Thus, could we not say that it was God's blood? The God-man's blood that was shed for us to redeem us? Now, it was totally human blood, for Christ was the perfect man and shed his spotless blood. But again, he was divine. He was deity in the body of a man. Turn to Revelation, if you will. The book of Revelation, in case you don't remember, that's the very last book of the Bible. Revelation, you always like it. I like it when I can turn to Genesis or Revelation. I can find them right away, right? Revelation chapter 4, Revelation 4 and verse 11. Praises being sung to our Lord Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So he is being worshipped for his creative power. And then chapter 5, verse 6, Revelation 5, 6. And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, or four living ones, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain. A lamb whose blood had been shed. And then Revelation 5, 9. Revelation 5, verse 9. Now you got to wait on me because I didn't write it down. Revelation 5, 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. Redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The work of creation, astounding, amazing. 4 million trillion, I forget the numbers now. It's just amazing. And so far beyond our comprehension and understanding. But a lamb, as it had been slain, the Lamb of God, God taking the form of a servant, a slave, having been murdered, and his blood shed, this God who spoke the universe in existence, he would do that, and he did. And there's the Lamb in eternity as it had been slain. You know what, folks? This is the focus of the universe. This is the focus of all creation. Not the galaxies, not the planets, not the vast space that surrounds our teeny tiny little planet, but he is the center of the universe. Christ, our Redeemer, the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. He is the sun around which everything revolves. In fact, there is no need of the sun in heaven, for the Lamb is the light thereof. We read in Revelation 21 or 22, I believe. We sing the bride. Here comes the bride. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. The Lamb, the Lord, Jesus Christ. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's Lamb. You know what? We experience salvation the moment, the second we believe. When we are born again and when we call on the Lord to save us. And so we like to say that we are saved. I'm saved from death and hell and headed for heaven and eternal life. And salvation is such a beautiful and wonderful word. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And redemption, or being redeemed, that focuses on one aspect of the great plan of salvation. When a person is redeemed, he is purchased. That's the meaning of this word. He is purchased out of the marketplace of sin. We're redeemed by the payment of a price. Often that word is translated purchase. Or ransom, maybe your version, New American Standard or English Standard Version or New King James may have that word in there instead of redeem. That's what it means. It all means the same thing, redeem, purchase, ransom. We are in bondage and enslaved to sin, and we need to be rescued. Maybe some of you here this morning right now need to be rescued out of your sin because you are a slave to sin. But we're rescued from that bondage. I need to be freed. God paid the price to bring about that deliverance. He purchased us. And Peter says, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, perishable things like money, like silver, gold. You couldn't be bought out of sin. Couldn't be paid for by anything corruptible, but rather with the precious, valuable blood of Christ. That is the price that was paid. That's the price of redemption. The truth of redemption is really brought out in Exodus chapter 12. You can turn there if you like. Exodus 12. When God is about to bring his people out of bondage, out of being enslaved, they were slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. And now God is going to bring them out. And what do we call that? Redemption. He is going to purchase them and redeem them. He's going to bring his people out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery. What a wonderful picture of our salvation. Exodus 12:1, and the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, the 10th day of this month they shall take them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Every house needed a lamb. And if the household be too little for the lamb, then let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, or according to what each can eat, shall make you count for the lamb. In other words, if you couldn't afford a lamb, you were too small. God was merciful. God was so gracious, even in this, and said, you can share that lamb with your neighbor. But verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. A male, the first year, it's going to be the best, the very best of the best. Was Jesus Christ the best? Better believe it. Was he without blemish? It was the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish. And this is hearkening back to this passage right here. Your lamb shall be without blemish. You can't just get rid of a lamb that was crippled or had some kind of defect in it. No. Give the very best, the most valuable, the one you can get the most money for. It'll be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep, from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And you shall take the blood. They're going to slit its throat. And you take the blood of that lamb and you strike it on the two side posts on the upper doorposts of the house. In other words, each side of the door of your house, you got to cover it with blood of that lamb. And wherein they shall eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh that night, roast with fire, unleavened bread, bitter herbs shall they eat it. You won't eat it raw or sodden at all, don't boil it, but roast it with fire, the head and the legs, with the pertinence thereof, or the inner portion, the guts. And ye shall let nothing remain of it until the morning. Of that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire. Thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet. You're ready to go out of your enslavement, but you're not going to go till I see that blood. And your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I'm going to kill all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt, to execute judgment. I'm going to judge everyone if I don't see that blood. They're going to be judged. If God doesn't see the blood in your heart and mind, the blood of Jesus, if I haven't trusted him as Savior, then I will be judged forever, as the Egyptians would be judged. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I won't judge you. The blood makes atonement for sin. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. God said in Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. It's all about the blood, folks. It's about the blood of Jesus Christ. One commentary said, God, as the sovereign author and proprietor of nature, reserved the blood to himself and allowed men only one use of it, the way of sacrifice. Men only could use the blood for one thing, and that was to shed it as a sacrifice to cover their sins. That's how valuable the blood was. The blood was reserved to give to God. The blood poured out was a life given. You see, that's what the blood of Jesus Christ means. It means his life was given. He died. He died. He shed his blood. Jesus could have shed his blood without dying, and that would not have atoned for our sins. But the shedding of his blood means his life being poured out. His blood was sacred only as a life laid down. The giving of his very life to forever remove our sins. Only the blood, only the death of Christ would satisfy the wrath of God against your sin and mine. Oh, the inestimable value of the blood of Jesus Christ, God's perfect lamb. Isaiah 53:7, we read, he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. John 1:29, John the Baptist, the next day John sees Jesus coming to him and says, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. 1 Corinthians 5:7, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Through his blood, his blood, his blood. Not by works, not by money, not by any effort on our part, but our faith in his blood. Our acknowledgement that I deserve the wrath of God, he provides the way of redemption. Look at Hebrews 9. You may turn there, if you would. Hebrews 9 and let's begin with verse 12. Hebrews 9 and verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, which we just saw in Exodus 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, Jesus Christ. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And it has. His blood has purged us. And now we are free to serve him. I am able to serve him because he sees Christ's righteousness in me. When he sees the blood. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Revelation 1:5, Jesus Christ, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Revelation 5:6, they saw a lamb as it had been slain. Revelation 7:14, these are they which came out into great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. Precious blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This pictures the great sacrifice the owner of a lamb made when he killed out of his flocks, he killed the most perfect animal which God required. God gave his best. He gave heaven's best. He gave his only begotten Son, his beloved Son, in whom he was well pleased. Leviticus 22:19, ye shall offer at your own will a male without blemish. Numbers 6:14, and he shall offer unto the Lord a he-lamb without blemish for a burnt offering. These animals were sacrificed time and time again, thousands upon thousands, and yet no sacrificial animal out of all the tens of thousands, yea, hundreds of thousands of animals sacrificed could ever take away sin. in Hebrews 10, if you're still in Hebrews, Hebrews 10, 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of these things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. They had to do it year after year after year, and it never stopped. For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, Jesus, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me to do thy will, O God. Jesus came to lay down his life because he would do the Father's will. And remember, he prayed in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. Sacrifice and offering and burnt offering for sin, thou wouldst not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And he taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all, never to be offered again. That's why in the Roman Catholic practice of the Mass is such an abomination. Because in offering the Mass, they claim to literally be offering the bread, literally is turned into the body of Christ every time they perform the Mass. That is blasphemy. That is a denial that Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient, was enough. Every time they offer that, they're saying, no, it wasn't enough. We've got to offer his body again and again and again and pour the blood again and again, the blood being in the wine. No, we need no priest. We have our priest, Jesus Christ. We need no more sacrifice. It was done. He was offered once for all. The offering of the animals for sin, to cover sin, the substitute taking the sinner's place, was completely and perfectly and finally fulfilled in Jesus Christ, God's perfect Lamb, the spotless sacrifice, taking the sinner's place, taking your place. Jesus died in your place when he died on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So I close just by saying, our redemption is final. It's complete. It's certain. Knowing you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain, futile, worthless way of life received by tradition. God didn't purchase our freedom with silver or gold, which was used to buy human slaves back in those days. But our purchase was made by the precious blood of his Son. And Christ paid full price to secure our ransom from slavery to sin, to seal our salvation. He paid the price with his precious blood, which is incorruptible. And his redemption signals an eternal change in our relationship to him. God did it, so it can't be undone. I'm glad for that. I can't even undo what God did. Christ delivered us. So we're under a new master now. And our old master, Satan, can't get us back. He can never have us back. And God paid the full price of the precious blood of his Son. And there's no person, there's nothing in existence that can pay a higher price than what Christ paid to ever get us back. He bought us with his life. He bought us with his life poured out, the blood. And we are now his slaves forever, forever. And he is our master. Is he, though? Is he your master? There's no better master. Make him your master today. Give your heart to him today. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this precious word. I know we have not done justice to it. There's so far more here than what we can ever begin to bring out in this beautiful, wonderful passage and truth that we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, blemishless and spotless, the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for dying for our sins and making the way to heaven possible. May we come to you, Lord, as we are, with our sins, and lay them at the foot of the cross, knowing that you will exchange your righteousness for our sins in redeeming us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number 559 in closing. Thank you for your time and your attention this morning. But let's close by singing of this salvation, 559. Let's stand together as we sing.